Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing well today, and we're going to try and sort things out about who's buying what in Turkey, who's buying F-35s, and who's buying S-1400s. But there is a big squabble going on with Turkey. Turkey's sort of in the middle between East and West, geographically as well, because of some friction with Washington, Erdogan went ahead and bought some S-400s, yeah. a missile system from Russia, but they're part of NATO. So what's going on here? And there's a big deal on this because the agreement and the pressure from the Congress and the American people is that if that happened, that we would not sell them F-35s, and we had an agreement we would. Ironically, interestingly enough, actually part of the F-35 was built, you know, in Turkey. So, but now the big argument is that will have to be canceled unless Trump figures out how to get out of this. I mean, using waivers, but there's no easy way out. It's a real dilemma. And for me, it just sort of is an interesting, complicated mess, which is not to be a total surprise with policies that we follow, you know, interventionism and trying to please everybody. And yet there's a balance that we're trying to strike. But this is serious. There were some hearings yesterday talking about the new defense chief, Esper, and this subject came up. But it looks like there's going to be tremendous pressure for Trump not to allow the sale of the F-35s, and that's just going to further antagonize our relationships with Turkey.
And this is really the example, to beat all examples, the idea that sanctions are cost-free, no big deal, just throw some sanctions on, this puts a lie to all that theory. And there are two things that happen. So the Turks originally wanted to buy Patriot missiles, but under the Obama administration, but it's a little complicated, but they wanted to have the technology transfer as well. And Obama said, no, you can't have the technology, you can buy the missiles. They said, okay, forget it, we'll shop elsewhere. They started talking to Russia. In the meanwhile, Obama had this boneheaded policy of regime change in Syria, which had the effect of pushing Turkey and Russia closer together with a few hiccups. So now they're closer together, they've been cooperating on Syria, and now Erdogan says, hey, Putin, I'd like to buy some of your missiles. That sounds great. The problem is, because Turkey is not only a NATO partner, it has the second largest NATO army after the U.S. It's a big player in the field. And so it can't have an F-35 and the system that was designed to shoot down F-35s at once. It can't have it. So that's the one thing. They can't get the F-35s now, even though they've been building it in Turkey. The other thing is, under a bill, we can talk about this, under a law passed in 2017 called CATSA, Turkey has to be sanctioned, has to have sanctions put on it for daring to buy some Russian stuff. So they're going to be, it's a double whammy. Talk about Trump being in a huge bind right now.
But, in some ways, some presidents on other matters, they just ignore what the law says. You know, if there's a law written and said, you can't do this, you can't fight this, you can't be involved, you try to restrain the president, sometimes they just go ahead and do it. So, but that he could do that. He could ignore it, but politically, it's not going to be easy for him to do that, just ignore it. But I think that this thing, could get much worse. I think it's rather ironic, Russiagate is occurring, and some of this came out, and some of it's a reaction to punish Russia. And in this case, it's backfiring on us in trying to punish Russia because and just to blame Obama, that's part of it because he wouldn't sell the Patriots. But it is also the fact that Obama was the one that really stirred up the trouble in Syria. Yeah. He in 2011, I think it was Assad has to go. So he stirs up this mess. It's such a expected complication so often from interventionism. But it's interesting now to have a country like Turkey being in the middle of this. And it seems like, just in a joking way, he's probably wants to be neutral. He wants to take weapons and be on both sides. Yeah. Well, maybe that's a good idea. But I don't think the Russians will be happy. And I don't think the American people are going to be happy, at least our politicians. But then again, when Trump gets involved and talks about this, you know, he's not bashful about bringing the subject of jobs. You know, this is not good for American jobs. So this is, conservatives have always been good at, making fun of Keynesian economics and promoting and providing government jobs. Well, this is military Keynesianism, and he mentions it quite often. And, of course, he mentioned a lot when there was this question about whether we should back away from supporting Saudi Arabia. They have a lot of money. We have to sell them a lot of weapons. So it's a driving force, and I think it's interesting that the new defense secretary, I think he has his finger in the pie too in the defense industry.
This is kind of the funny thing. We laughed about it before the show. Everyone is furious that Turkey didn't buy our Patriot missiles, especially our new defense secretary, Mark Esper. Guess what? He was an executive of the company that makes these missiles, Raytheon. So that just shows how much they're abed with each other, the military-industrial complex. But Trump seems genuinely upset about this. Here's what he said yesterday. He's like, because of the fact that Turkey bought a Russian missile, we're not allowed to sell them billions of dollars worth of aircraft. It's not a fair situation. And think of all the jobs that are being lost. Turkey was going to buy 100 of these things, as you point out. Crazily enough, they were manufacturing them in Turkey. That just goes to show how our defense industry, it's not about defense,
But the other thing is how many times have we poked fun at the amount of money we spent on the F-35, how it's built in 50 different states and now various countries to satisfy everybody. And it's a weapon that's not working very well. And it's also a weapon that... it's, to me, old-fashioned airplanes, and they're going to be able to, shoot it down rather easily. So I think that this is going to continue to fester for a while longer. And like you say, Trump is sort of in a box on him trying to make up his mind on what he's going to do.
And he doesn't really have anything that he can do. He can't get out of this. The CATS bill, which is, ironically, it's Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act of 2017. This whole bill was put in place in the middle of the Russia hysteria, before the Mueller report came out, before Concord Strategies. You know, this is the lawsuit that is really exposing the fact that the Russia meddling, there was no state party meddling. So the Russia narration has completely fallen apart. But remember back in 2017, Dr. Paul, it was a big deal. And there was no way Trump could have vetoed this bill. What it says is if you do any business with Russia's defense industry, you get sanctions no matter what. And there were two waivers, though, that were allowed, and that was with Vietnam and India, two really important partners that have a lot of Russian defense equipment that they need to keep up. So those two waivers, and the person who wrote the waivers was Senator Lankford from Oklahoma. And he said, he was quoted yesterday in Defense News, I think, saying, I specifically wrote this to mean that Turkey cannot have a waiver. So Trump can't do anything. He has to put sanctions on Turkey. He can't say no. The only thing he can do, there's a big menu of, I think, 18 different sanctions, and he has to pick five of them out. I don't know, the least to the most, But either way, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, because if he has a slap on the wrist, that just shows this whole Russia hysteria for the phony thing it is. But if he really smacks Turkey down hard, then Turkey may say, okay, forget your F-35s. We're going to buy Sukhois. We're going to do more business with Russia. And then you've got a big problem.
Right. And it's also unnecessary. And I keep thinking, what we do with the amount of money we spend, and we talk about instead of what, where could this money have gone? But it's everybody. It's the Russians, everybody else. And all this money that's pumped into it, then we wonder why, even in a rich country like ours, we have starving people in the streets, without home. It's related. But, I find it fascinating, this Russiagate, and you've mentioned this already, but it was all based on false charges, and now we have an unintended consequence because politically Even the Republicans, you remember when these charges came out, many Republicans, or at least a lot more than now, said, well, we have to do something. We have to be, you know, enforce this. Besides, we don't like Trump anyway. So they were all all willing to go along with all this. And this thing now has continued. And it's a consequence of a false charge. They carried away. We had to prove that we're anti-Russia, and it's still the same old story. They don't give up on it. You know, it's still really risky to say anything fair and balanced about Russia. You know, if you're in the Congress, you know, it's still considered taboo to say that, and yet. The whole thing on Russiagate, and yet we have these problems, the laws that were written and the punishment, we had to punish somebody, and this is a consequence. So it would be patching this up and taking care of it and moving away from it is not easy. Once you dig these deep holes like this, but it is so much easier if you want to think about, could this have been prevented? Mm. And I would say that I'm 100% convinced that it could have been prevented. Just like I believe 100% that the lives lost and the money spent in the Middle Eastern wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and all these places could have been prevented. And yet, what does that do? That contributes to this $22 trillion, $23 trillion deficit and people, not being able to even to take care of themselves, and yet stock market's high, so everybody's okay. But there isn't. There's some ramifications from this, and I think this is a perfect example how complex it gets, because they lie one thing, and then there's a complication, and people. Well, we have to react. Yep. People want us to do something, so let's declare war against Russia. You know.
Well, the other thing that this demonstrates is the total failure of the experts, the foreign policy experts. Every one of them, down to the person, believed that Erdogan was bluffing. He'll never take those S-400s. He'll never do. He's bluffing. He'll back down. He just wants to make a deal. They were informed by their own sort of self-perpetualizing system of discussion. That's how it happens in D.C. Erdogan wasn't bluffing. He thought the U.S. was bluffing, that they would actually do this. But all of a sudden, in early June, things got real. And this is when the Pentagon started shutting down Turkey's participation in building the F-35. Nobody believed it. They thought, okay, this is a wake-up call. They're going to turn around. We told them, by July 31st, you better cancel that deal. You're not even going to be building these planes anymore. Shortly thereafter, they canceled all the pilot training for Turkish pilots in the U.S. learning how to fly F-35s. You guys go home, you're not going to learn how to. Still didn't believe it. But Turkey has invested $1.5 billion in this plane, is what Erdogan says. And he says, if you don't give us our planes, I'm going to sue you. We're already invested. And here's the even the crazier part. According to the law now, Turkey will own some planes, but they can't take receipt of them because they have the 400s. And the 400s, the parts of them started arriving this week, so they're there. Turkey, this is not like Amazon. You can't just box it back up and send it back to Russia within 30 days for a refund. So this is a serious situation.
And they better have good maintenance crews and availability of parts, because people aren't that happy with the airplane. Yeah. You know, all over an airplane that nobody's enthusiastic about. But maybe there's one good thing that comes from this. You know, early on, Trump was very vocal about how terrible NATO was and we should get out of it. But then he decided, well, maybe if I control it and make them divvy up some money, we can live with NATO. But this example of what's happening in Turkey, it puts NATO into limbo, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe this is good. Maybe people will finally say, well, you know, if we can't even figure out our own members what to do with them, because they're working with the enemy, so-called enemy, we have to have an enemy. How else can we build these airplanes? So in reality, NATO is non-functioning right now, and Trump didn't like it, so I would like to see them move away from it. But I don't think that's going to happen until everybody runs out of money and they have to think about some other things.
And that's a great point, because really what it does is undermine the central thesis of why we have to maintain NATO, which is, oh, we've got a big Russia threat we've got to deal with. So if Turkey, probably arguably one of our most important NATO partners, at least in terms of standing army and a strategic location, if that important of a country as a NATO partner says, Russia is not only not a threat, it's so much not a threat that we're going to buy their military equipment, that completely undermines the whole philosophy.
And you were complaining about our leaders not having good perceptions, understanding what's going on. But what about the base that we have in Turkey?
Yeah.
I think you talk about strategic bases. Incirlik is a base that they would absolutely need if we really had to fight an old-fashioned ground war and flying old-fashioned airplanes. But that's a big base besides us. A lot of money invested over there, but it's sort of like, how important is the embassy and the troops that we have still in Iraq? And the one thing is, we did point out about Turkey entering into, Syria being part of this problem. So it was Obama, it was Syria, but it's also the big issue of the Kurds.
Yeah.
And that of course, I think should be settled by the three countries that where the Kurds live, and the rest of us should just stay out of it. But that's going to be there for a long time. But I don't think we're thinking it through. If they're thinking in a conventional way, that we have to have strategic bases and things, it wouldn't take much for some enemy to eliminate the biggest embassy in the world, which is probably, a very, very important center for communications.
Yeah, and the base is important. And, if this thing keeps going south, you can imagine, what if we lose basing rights? The Turks would never do that. Well, when they thought that the U.S. was behind this coup a couple of years ago, they told the military, U.S. military on Incirlik, hey, you guys stand down, you can't do any operations, you can't do anything. So it could get to that point, in which point, what would the U.S. do? We'd have no way to stage this ridiculous Syria policy that we continue to have. The only allies we have on the ground in Syria, now that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are gone, are the Kurds. Turkey would like nothing better than to have free reign to get rid of this Kurdish problem. So this is a hangover from an idiotic foreign policy that Trump is continuing. He's not overturning. So, folks, this is why we argue for non-interventionism. This is like a huge plate of spaghetti. There's no way to untangle this. It's a complete mess. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know what's going to happen. Frankly, I'm perplexed. And I don't mean to laugh because it's serious, but talk about the bungling of these so-called experts. Unbelievable. But there's one thing that won't be bungled, and that's our wonderful students, our scholars seminar in Washington, D.C. on August 23rd. There are only a few days left to apply. Dr. Paul, I'm happy to report that we've got a huge influx of applications of young people that want to spend a day listening to lectures about national security state or a foreign policy of peace. We've got great people that are going to be talking all day. And those students, Dr. Paul, will the next day join us at our big conference. So they've got two packed days of great, solid information about non-interventionism. This is the most important philosophy of foreign policy, not realism, neoconservatism. Non-interventionism will save us from all this mess. So go to ronpaulinstitute.org. There's a link on the upper right for students. Super easy application, and we wish you luck.
I would like to follow up on your statement and your description on how chaotic the situation is around Turkey and Russia and the United States. And yet, it is a consequence of the policy, but it's universally endorsed by both parties. This is not debated. It is never even mentioned with the 20 candidates, maybe except for one person, even to bring a subject like this up. And it is supported. This idea that they're at loggerheads, the two parties fighting and ready to kill each other, stuff like this, they are not. They're working in sync, and they work together, and they get the support. And that is, to me, the big problem. And Also, when it comes to a challenge of our foreign policy, you hear nothing, but there's no challenge about the spending. There in the old days, we used to have Barry Goldwater people get up and say, this is not good. We're spending too much money. But everybody's convinced now, liberals and conservatives, it's not a serious problem. They're talking about budgets now and raising the national debt. That's all just fluff. if they want to do something, they can and they will. The one thing for sure is they won't, in the budgetary area, solve the problem or restrain them. If they write laws, they don't work. They don't believe in the Constitution. So that is going to continue. So in the next couple of weeks, you'll hear a lot about the budget, but they're going to continue spending and they're going to continue supporting an interventionist foreign policy, and they'll continue to argue about how we punish the Russians. What are we going to do them next? Who gets the sanctions? We got to put sanctions on them. And now we're talking about how do we put sanctions on our ally that has the F-35s and helped us build it, and they're in NATO. It is totally foolish. Non-intervention is the solution to this problem, believe me. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.